KY Says.
Satlila Sahib, and welcome back to our Satsang podcast with Bible Youth. We are so excited to continue our Upasana translation journey with you all. Before we start, we would like to make shout-outs to our amazing Bible Youth team. From scripting to recording to producing, everyone is doing a great job. Your dedication and seva are truly inspirational. So, without further ado, let's get started.
Satkeval Sahib, Gaival Youth. Welcome back to another holy episode. Bobby and I are back to help us all dive a little deeper into our Guru Mahima translations. This has definitely been a different kind of experience, hasn't it, Bobby?
Yes, it has. While we're still focused on one section, I feel like we have also covered some very important fundamental concepts. For example, understanding the types of gurus and what they can give us in terms of jnana. That in itself is so vital for our spiritual development.
A spiritual teacher, our guru, guides our ship. And it's so important that we learn from a guru whose intentions transcend the boundaries of this temporary physical world.
Which is what our Param Guru gives us. He is the only one true guru who is able to ascend us higher than anyone else. And that is why Pujya Sri Nanda Ji Maharaj, with every verse of this Guru Mahima, has kept his own focus upon Param Guru. He continues to reiterate Param Guru's Mahima with every piece of jnana he gives us.
To experience that level of closeness to Param Guru. My gosh, I cannot even fathom it. I only hope that one day I can have even 1 ounce of that closeness to my Param Guru.
Radhi, if we keep doing our seva and bhakti with nishwarth bhav, then of course we will have that. Of course, Pujya Sri Nanda Ji Maharaj is unparalleled, but we too can experience this bond with Param Guru. We can experience Param Guru in our hearts and minds in the way so many bhaktos have.
Yes, Bobby, you are right. We can. So let's get started with our next set of verses so we can keep moving up this spiritual ladder, one step at a time.
Let's do it. Okay, Kaival Youth. So today, we have two new guests for you. Two of our very own KY committee members and Kaival Gnan Mandir originals, Miss Ipsa and Mr. Kush. Ipsa is our KY Finance Committee Chair and one of our satsang teachers. She continues to shower our young KY munchkins with Param Guru's jnana. And she works full-time as an accountant for a firm in Chicago as she gives such great seva. Welcome to the episode, Ipsa.
Thank you, Bobby. I'm excited to be here again to connect to our Upasana and also bring these connections to our KY community. Guru Mahima has always been a tough one, but listening to these episodes has been helping bridge that gap.
That is our purpose with these translations. And I can completely relate to those feelings, Ipsy. And I also think that our other guest feels similarly. Kush, another one of KGM's finest young adults. This crazy cat is our PR vice chair. And just like Ipsa, he gives his seva on multiple levels. Kush has his degree in chemical engineering, and he is actually about to start his PhD program coming this fall. Excited to work with him as a fellow researcher one day. Welcome aboard, Kush.
Thanks, Radhi. I really enjoyed my time on the episode last series. It was a very different kind of experience, but I still remember some of the points we discussed, and it's definitely strengthened my connection in some ways.
We are glad to hear it. All right, so Ipsa and Kush. Last episode, we left off with understanding the impact of Param Guru's Sharan and how we must go to Paramguru in order to reap these benefits we so often discuss in our satsangs.
Right, we left with a bee analogy. Like how a bee needs to buzz over to the flower, smell it, and then extract the nectar from it. We have to go to Paramguru using our actions, obtain his jnana, and then we will be able to get the nectar.
And if we continue to stay in Paramguru's sharan, he will heal all of our miseries and transform our energy completely.
Exactly. And we ended the previous episode with the verse, Evo pada pankajano paratapa, mile pati pada lahe nija apa. Which extends what you both said to one more point of how Paramguru's sharan will give us this connection to Karta. Okay, great. So singers, can we have our next two verses, please? I believe we are at verse 48 and 49.
Eva sukhma jana jile aparu aho dhanya jana je pame dedaru
Eva jana bhaya gavana bhavitu bhavi bhava maje hi bhakti ke khetu
Eva sukhma jana jile aparu aho dhanya jana je pame dedaru Eva means such, sukhama means in peace and happiness, jan means human, jile means enjoys, aparu means boundless, ahodanya means grateful, jana je means the ansh or the human, pame means gets or gains, Dedaru means sight of, so darshan of basically.
As we have learned previously in this Guru Mahima and also through other satsangs, the happiness, the anand and ansh experiences in Kaival Dham is just indescribable. I think in a previous episode, you all used an analogy of weather. Like if someone who has always lived in a cold and snowy area and has never experienced any other weather, that person wouldn't know how carefree or breezy a tropical sunny place would feel. They can try to understand when someone explains it, but they won't truly know until they experience it.
Such is Karta's Dham. But we have become so tunnel visioned with our current state of happinesses, we fail to bring our attention to this ultimate truth. However, as we are about to see, this is our one true chance. Because as verse 49 goes, Eva jana bhaya gavana bhavetu, bhaye bhava ma jehi bhakti ke khetu. Eva means such. Jan means human or people. Bhayagavan, also Bhagyavan, but here it's pronounced just a little differently, I think for the purposes of singing, means fortunate. Bhavetu means to have taken birth. Bhaye bhava ma, jagma thaya, happened in the world. Jehi bhakti ke khetu, for the purposes of doing bhakti, to be devotional.
So, continuing from the previous verse, this verse is emphasizing a point we have addressed multiple times in our satsangs, which is that only humans have this ability to do bhakti and obtain jnana. Other life forms are unable to experience spirituality in the same manner as us. So here, Sri Narandashi Maharaj is saying those ansh which have this human form are truly fortunate because they have been given this one unique opportunity to reach Kaivalkarta through bhakti and jnana.
And through this unique opportunity, we can experience Karta's Dhamnu Sukh as Ipsa described. In this verse, Sri Nayandashi Maharaj is using the analogy of farming. Those Anshu who have done Bhakti Rupi Kheti, meaning those who have sowed the seeds of Param Guru's Gnyan, will reap their benefits and are truly fortunate. See, humans have this mind-action connection that is higher than other life forms. We can connect to our behavior on an intellectual level, which allows for us to take part in such satkarma, such as satsang and bhakti.
Which makes sense, because as humans, I feel like we're always bragging about our higher cognitive abilities. We consider ourselves to be on top of the food chain because of our cognition.
Isn't that the same logic people use when consuming animal products? Like, we are humans, and we have dominion over all other animals.
Yes, it is. But like Kush said, it's this brain power that makes us feel invincible. Because we have created technologies to control wild animals and remove them as a threat to us. Otherwise, let's say that you put Kush in a cage with a hungry lion or bear, just him, without any weapons or any other resources. How useful is his cognition going to be in that moment, at that time?
Why am I going in this cage? But okay, so obviously I would try to think of a way out, but if there isn't anything, then my brain will pretty much be useless in that situation. And I'll probably get devoured by that bear or lion or whatever.
See, we don't realize it, but we have done that very thing to our spiritual cognition. We have rendered it useless by using our brain power towards superficial attachments. So even though we have this higher ability, we are not using it. We have caged it and are subject to such miseries time and time again. And our next couple verses will help us understand how Param Guru's Gnyan has the ability to take us out of this cage. With these two previous verses, Sri Nayandashi Maharaj has reiterated how much endless happiness this Ansh truly experience, this Ansh who do Param Guru's true bhakti. Singers, let's have the next two verses, please.
Guru khan jnan sinche jad dhara pake prabhu ta vidhi gati apara tehi prabhu ta pada praudhate padmi karta karthai lahi sukh kadmi.
Verse 50. Guru ghan jnana sinche jal dhara pake prabhu ta vidhi gati apara. Guru ghana jnan, Param Guru's jnan, metaphorically speaking about a guru's jnan in the form of clouds, thunderous clouds. Sinche means to give, like watering plants. Jal dhara means a continuous flow of water. Pake means to mature. Prabhuta means aishwarya, wealth. Vidhi is a method or process, a ritual. Gati means understanding. Apar means limitless. And here we say apara, which means limitless.
Just like how when it rains in the monsoon season, all kinds of crops grow. In the same way, when we go into Param Guru's shelter, he showers us with the knowledge of Kaivalkarta. And this allows us to become highly enlightened and even more knowledgeable.
So we basically end up in a positive feedback loop. Continuing from the previous understanding of how we as humans have higher cognitive abilities, these abilities will only continue to grow as Param Guru showers us with his Krupa. As our connection to Param Guru increases, our bhakti increases, and this helps heighten our cognition.
And ultimately, this leads us to become closer and closer to Karta, our Anshi. Okay, so now verse 51. Tehi prabhuta pada prouda te padmi karta kar thai lahe sukha kadmi. Tehi, means such. Prabhuta means Aishwarya, means wealth in the form of Jnana and Bhakti. Pada means place. Prouda means superior or higher. Te Padami means that position, that status. Karta Kar means one with Karta. Thai means to become. Lahe Sukha means experience happiness. And Kadami means ancient.
So continuing from the previous verse, we further acknowledge how holding this superior position in Param Guru's Charan will allow us to experience the ancient Sukh that only Karta can give.
And how we will acquire this unquantifiable wealth of Bhakti and Gyan, which cannot be bought with any amount of money.
Exactly. Money can buy many things, but it cannot buy knowledge, wisdom, and above all, Param Guru's Jnan. We must go into his shelter, his Sharan, with true humility to acquire his Bodh. All right, singers, let's move forward with our next two verses.
Dehi sukha na je data guru pote, tade je asuja guru mukha jote.
Okay, now we have gone to Param Guru's shelter and we understand what that will do for us. Let's take a couple steps further now. So, verse 52. Tehi sukha na je data guru pote, tade je asuja guru mukha jote. Tehi sukha na means of such happiness. Je data means one that gives. Guru pote means the guru himself. Tare je means the one who averts, who turns away. Asuj means ignorance, agnyamta. And guru mukha jote means on seeing guru's face.
Along with giving us this wealth of Jnan and Bhakti, going into Param Guru's Sharan will also remove our ignorances, as he is the remover of all ignorances. And no one else is able to do this for us, except Param Guru. Only he has the ability to give us this happiness. He is the Data.
Well, that makes sense, because as we have said many times before, Param Guru is our Guru Maharaj, and he is really completely and truly above all else. He is the only one able to give us such opportunities that can elevate us above all else too. If we just do Param Guru's Darshan, we can remove so many of our ignorances.
You would think, but it also depends on how we do Param Guru's Darshan and what bhav we have within us. Everyone has access to Param Guru's Jnan, but it is how we consume it and implement it that matters. So, in verse 53, Sri Narayana Das Ji Maharaj says, Aruna ude andhaku nava suje, binu ansha bhakti pati nava buje. Arun means sun. Ude means rises. Andhaku means the blind, a blind person. Nava suje means cannot realize. Binu means without. Ansh, Kaivalkarta's Ansh, we are a part of Kaivalkarta, loosely our soul. Bhakti means devotion. Pati is referring to Kaivalkarta here. Nava buje means doesn't know, does not understand.
Okay, so simply going to Param Guru Sharan is just the first step. But we must stay actively aware while we are in his Sharan. Despite being on earth, a blind man doesn't know when the sun rises and does not experience the light the sun gives. In the same way, we can remain in Param Guru Sharan, but if we don't do his bhakti regularly, meaning with niyam, and if we don't continue to take steps to make our bhakti grow, we will also remain blind to his ultimate message about Gartha.
We have discussed this in satsang as well. We must stay active with our faith. If we become complacent, we will regress. Alright, singers, I think we're ready for the next couple of verses.
अजावे गुरु ते प्रति पद वाचे लेवाते ही लक्ष्य रयो मन साचे
साचो संबंध सदा सुखकारी तना मना धना गुरु परवारी.
Okay, verse 54. भजावे गुरु ते प्रति पद वाचे लेवा तेही लक्ष्य रह्यो मन साचे. भजावे means to make us do devotion, to make us do bhajans. Guru here is referring to Paramguru. Te means that. Pati pad means Kaivalkarta's abode. Vache means speech. Leva here means to digest, to take something and fully understand it, to digest it. Dehi means that. Laksha. Here, laksha means Kaivalkarta's knowledge, Kaivalkarta's samaj, Paramguru's bodh that he has brought to give us. Rahyo means remains. Man means heart. Sache means truthful. So the combination of these two words means wholeheartedly.
So along with our Niyamit Bhakti, we must also be willing to accept this Gyan, meaning we must be willing to open our minds to the greater understanding.
With his divine speech, Paramguru teaches all that go into his shelter. As we learned in the previous episode, there are countless Bhaktos in Paramguru's shelter, and Paramguru gives everyone the same Gnan.
This reminds me of a bonfire. Everyone sitting around it will have access to the same warmth and light. But then, it is up to the person to do more, like reach their hands up to get additional warmth, or use that bonfire to make s'mores, or use it as a source of light to read something.
Right, so in the same way, we must be able to accept this Gnan Paramguru has given us and use it in our lives every single day. Here, Sri Narandas Ji Maharaj uses the word digest for a very specific reason. He's trying to explain how one who truly digests Paramguru's Gnan will begin implementing it. That is the only way we will be able to reach our laksh.
Right. And verse 55. Sacho sambandha sada sukhakari tana mana dhana guru paravari. Sacho means true. Sambandh means relationship. Sada means always. Sukhakari means gives happiness. Tan means body, man means mind, dhan means wealth. Guru is referring to Paramguru here, and paravari means to completely and totally surrender.
So to continue from the previous verse, in order to experience the complete abilities of Paramguru's Gyan, we must be present with our mind, body, and wealth. Like the bonfire, we must be present with our mind and body. Being present with our body will allow us to experience the physical warmth. Being present with our mind will give us ideas about how we can use that heat for our benefit, like the example Ipsa gave about making spores.
Right, and to build that bonfire will require some sources, which will be obtained with our money. If we don't actively collect the resources to make the bonfire, we won't be able to use it.
Giving our dhan to Paramguru goes beyond that as well. Paramguru is Guru Maharaj, the guru of all gurus. He does not need our wealth, nor does he want it. However, wealth is a source of greed and many other negative behaviors. Being able to give our wealth prevents us from getting overly attached.
We did a whole satsang on this, and we will address it more as we move forward. But we definitely need to build this two-way relationship. Okay, singers, next two, please.
मिथ्या पद देता महापद पावे थाई शरण रहे भक्ति के दावे गुरु तुम बिना नहीं कोई मारो लाग्यो काड़ माया तनु बाहु लारु
ओके सो वर्स 56 मिथ्या पद देता महापद पावे थई शरणे रहे भक्ति के दावे मिथ्या पद means transient or perishable world, world of attachments. Deta means by giving. Mahapad means great position, which is eternal, referring to Kaival Dham. Pave means to get. Thai Sharane means through his shelter. Rahe means stays, and Bhakti Ke Dave means the challenges of devotion.
So once we give Param Guru our tan, man, dhan, which is temporary, he gives us the Param Sukh of Karta's Dham, which is eternal. So it is almost like we are making this trade.
You know, when we are doing satsang and while we are doing these translations, we acknowledge how our dhan, man, and dhan are temporary, and how by surrendering them to Param Guru gives us eternal happiness. However, I'm wondering how often we actually connect to this concept. Like, while we're living our lives, all these things don't feel temporary until we actually sit down and think about it.
And even that is temporary. The moments of self-reflection allows us to understand this truth. But then once we go back to our regular day-to-day routine, we forget again. It is why we keep emphasizing the importance of regular bhakti and satsang.
Which is also why we are placing so much importance in these translations. Understanding what we are singing helps us connect to these concepts and keep them in our minds. This will help us stay aware even while we are in our day-to-day lives. Okay, so I think we're on verse 57. Yeah, verse 57. Guru tuma vina nahi koi maru. Lagyu kada maya tanu bahu laru. Guru, of course, referring to Param Guru. Tuma vina means without you. Nahi koi, no one is. Maru, mine. Lagyu means entrapped in this particular verse. Kada maya tanu, attachments of this transient world. Bahu means very much so. Laru means line.
Here, we are saying how Param Guru is our one true Hiteshi, meaning well-wisher. Guru Tumuvina means Guru. Without you, there is no one who is my true well-wisher, supporter, confidant, and so much more. However, I am entrapped in all these physical attachments of Maya, and these bonds are so strong. But my Param Guru can help me be free from all these bondages.
These attachments of Maya are very prabhad, meaning very strong. Once we connect to something, we really believe it is ours, and we are unable to see anything else beyond that.
This is why Sri Narayanadashi Maharaj keeps reiterating the importance of repetition. The more we do something, the better we become. If we spend more time doing bhakti and satsang, we will continue to improve. Okay, singers, I think we are ready for our next verses.
Eti dukha pamyo aghada aparu ko na kare sahai nahi koi maru. Kama krodha lobha maha bada bhupa indri guna antasha shatru janupa.
Verse 58.
तेथि दुख पाम्यो अघाद अपारु कौन करे सहाय नहीं कोई मारु तेथि as a result दुख पाम्यो means I suffer miseries, I am unhappy. Aghada means deeply. Aparu means limitless. Kona kare means who will. Sahai means help. Nahi koi means no one. Maru means mine.
So all these mayas we become so attached to end up being a source of great sadness and suffering for us. Here, Sri Narandashi Maharaj is saying how all these attachments are deep and limitless and end up giving us so much pain. Who will help me free myself from these endless cycles? Who is mine to help me? Who is able to help me?
So before we answer this question, let's take the next verse. Kama krodha lobha mahabada bhupa indri guna antas shatru janupa. Kam means desire, krodh means anger, lobh means greed, mahabada bhupa means strong and powerful king, indri our 10 senses, gun are our 3 qualities, the rajogun, satogun and tamogun. Antas are our inclination, our antaskarans, man, buddhi, chit and ahankar. Shatru means enemy and janup means king.
With this verse, we understand all the qualities we will assume if we increase our attachments. These attachments can create powerful emotions and states of being like lust, anger and greed. If left unchecked, these qualities can reign over our lives.
So let's look at 3 particular words here. Indri, referring to indriyos, gun, referring to the gunas, and antas, referring to our antaskaran. We have learned about each of these as separate satsangs, so we will keep it brief here. But our physical and mental existences are made up of these 10 indriyos, 5 antaskarans, and the 3 guns. We utilize them as we experience the world and make decisions to carry out our daily activities.
But as Kush explained, if we become too attached to our temporary people, places, and things, we can become lustful, greedy, angry, among other things. These emotions can begin to control our indriyos and antaskaran. We start making decisions based on these feelings instead of facts and faith. So here, Sri Narandashi Maharaj is saying that all these states, kam, krodh, moh, they have all become kings. They rule over us. And our indriyos, guns, and antaskarans have all become my enemies.
It's like that saying, at what point do we become possessed by our possessions? Once we become this attached and as a result emotional, we basically become servants to these masters of attachments.
Right. And here Sri Narandashi Maharaj has used these previous 3 verses to explain the chain reaction set in motion, which starts with Maya. The more we engage in social and superficial activities, the more we will want to. We will become entrapped in those cycles without even realizing it. And this will lead to highs and lows, which will lead to all these negative qualities that take over our lives. So let's keep going with this. Singers, next verse please.
एही सब शत्रु वेदे तन मारु करे छे बेहाल नही सुख सारु
त्राहि त्राहि पुकारु छुपति सुनो धनी अरज ए दुख सती को.
Verse 60. एही सब शत्रु वेदे तन मारु
kare che behala nahi sukha saru. Ehi means these. Saba shatru means all enemies. Vede means pierce. Tan means body. Maru means mine. Kare che means does or do. Behal means durdasha, a very poor situation, one who has become more than helpless, almost like in despair or completely desperate, unable to do anything else. Nahi means not. Sukh saru means all happinesses.
Here, Sri Narandaji Maharaj uses a metaphor to help us understand just what all these attachments had done to him. He refers to all these superficial happinesses and negative qualities as his enemies. He says they have pierced through his body and turned him completely helpless and truly desperate.
He is sharing his own experience with us once again. He says, look, I have been through this and I have realized that the happiness obtained from these temporary attachments is not worthy of the ansh when compared to the anand of Param Guru's Sharan.
Well, if we think about it, should we as humans also keep our standards higher? We discussed earlier how we have higher cognition. We're smarter. Then why are we so okay with accepting such transient forms of happiness? For example, something like going out. While it's a lot of fun and a great time, it's restricted to the time we are out and about. If we want to experience this again, we need to engage in the same activity again. We should want more for ourselves too. Like, keep our social lives and enjoy ourselves, but remember to keep our focus on something that is more sustainable and long-term, like our relationship to Param Guru.
Kush, that was so well explained and said. Nice. And that takes us to our next verse, verse 61. Trahe trahe pokaruchu patiku. Suno dhani araj e dukha satiku. Trahe trahe means exhaustively calling for help. Pokaru chu means call loudly for. Patiku means to the Lord, referring to Param Guru. Suno dhani means listen, my Param Guru. Araj means request. E duk means these miseries. Satiku, of a chaste woman.
Here, we are calling for help to get us out of all this craziness. It reminds me of what we might do if we get locked in a room or something. Like, let's say the door gets stuck. Or we get trapped in a room. We would be banging on the door and shouting loudly to get someone outside to hear us. Here, Sri Narandaji Maharaj is calling out to Param Guru, saying, my Swami, please listen to this request from me, your loyal bhakt and servant. I am as pure as a chaste wife.
I've always had a question about this verse, and a few others that refer to a bhakti as a sati.
Yes, I'm sure many do. You know, before a woman's honor was based on her chastity, and a chaste woman always had the protection of her husband. While we have moved forward past so many of these beliefs, we are simply using it as an analogy here. Women built their divinity using their loyalty and faith towards their husbands. The point here is that traits such as loyalty and faith carry a significant amount of weight. Our main loyalties should be towards Param Guru always. And if we remain chaste towards Param Guru, he will always protect us.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Keeping our energy and focus upon Param Guru, and that will come back to us in so many ways. So if we use Ipsa's example, we are locked in this room with so much negativity, and we are calling out to Param Guru to save us. If we remain true to him, he will come for sure.
Exactly right. And this takes us right into our next couple of verses. Singers.
Oya pati vrata to pati ne laja vintandi ne sukha namale samaja.
Niva guru charantano je upasi sukhe pad pame karta avinashi.
Okay, verse 62. Hoye pati vrata to pati ne laj, vitandi ne sukha na mare samaj. Hoye pati vrata means a wife that is fully devoted to her husband, a chaste woman. To pati ne laj means the husband is fully devoted to her as well. Vitandi ne means a wife is not fully devoted or has taken a wild path. Sukha na mare means doesn't get any happiness or peace. And samaj means society.
So, I think Babi was ahead of us and briefly mentioned this before. So, as the belief was, a chaste woman always had the protection of her husband because he would fight for her honor. Someone who is not loyal or faithful would not experience those same protections because they have taken a wrongful path.
So, bringing it back to our faith, this is basically for all of us to understand in the context of our Param Guru. If we stay loyal to Param Guru and only follow his path, he will fight for us and he will protect us.
Here, we can take a common example of doing extra vidhis and such. Okay, let's say you're a devoted Param Guru Bhakt. You do seva and bhakti regularly. There comes a brief time when you are going through a rough patch, and someone tells you to do this yagna or vidhi to some devi or devta. They promise you that by doing this extra vidhi, you will get X, Y, or Z, or you will attain this or that. What do you do?
Well, using everything we've learned so far, we should not do it. We should not get caught up in emotions and deter from our devotion to Param Guru. We must stay faithful to him and him only.
I think this is one of those things that is easier said than done. We say it now, but then if something does happen, we may falter. We shouldn't, but we may.
But that is this point of this Guru Mahima. By making our devotion stronger through regular bhakti, satsang and seva, we will make our minds stronger. And this will prevent us from going on any other path. We will stay with Param Guru.
Right, because as we are saying in verse 63, Eva Guru Charan Tano Je Upasi Sukhe Pada Pame Karta Avinashi. Eva means such. Guru Charan Tano means of Param Guru's feet, of Param Guru's Charan, which is synonymous to Param Guru's shelter. Je Upasi means does upasana of Param Guru, Param Guru's devotee. Sukhe means with joy. Pada Pame means to attain that position, to attain that abode. Karta Avinashi, of the Creator, who is Kaival Karta, who is eternal.
So if we maintain this laser-focused attention on Param Guru and give our time for his bhakti and seva, then and only then will we enjoy the happiness in a place where there is eternal happiness, referring to Karta's Dham.
But first, we must do everything we have discussed in this episode. We must buzz over to Param Guru Sharan. We must obtain his Gnan. We must implement it into our lives and make positive changes so we can stay above the influence of negativity. And finally, we must stay loyal to our Param Guru.
Right, Ipsa. And as a point of reflection, we should all try to understand where we are in this stepwise path towards our bond to Param Guru.
That's a great question, Bhabhi. Where are we? Are we obtaining Param Guru's Gnan and trying to implement it? Are we showing Param Guru our loyalty? What are we doing?
I feel like we could be doing multiple things at once. For example, I'm obtaining Bodham Buddha's gyan, but as I obtain new gyan, I try to implement it into my life.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. But this is a good thing. We continue to grow in our directions as we do our seva and bhakti in Param Guru Sharan.
You both have done such a great job of helping all of us understand these verses in today's episode. I think we have a good point here to take a brief pause and really understand everything we have learned today. What do you say, Radhi?
I agree, Bhabhi. Kush and Ipsa, thank you for being on this episode today. It was truly a pleasure.
Thank you for having us, Bhabhi and Radhi. I loved being here with both of you and obtaining more of our gnan.
Agreed. Thank you for having us. Gaival Youth, as always, it was a pleasure. If you have any questions or comments, please email satsang@gaival.org. Satgaival Sahib, everyone. This work is copyrighted in 2021 by Gaival Youth, which is a national subsidiary of Gaival Gyan Chicago Foundation. Reproduction in any manner is prohibited without the express consent of Gaival Youth. For more information, visit www.gaival.org or email satsang@gaival.org. All rights reserved. Satgaival Sahib.